Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, Dave Pullen, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, Ray Ferraro, hockey analyst, will join us here in a moment. And some news over the past hour. The NHL has notified the PA that training camps will not begin before July 10th. Does not mean they'll start on July 10th, but won't happen before July 10th. And we were talking about this earlier, this whole phase two thing where six players can be on the ice at the same time and you can get into the buildings. That timeline probably answers the question we were throwing out earlier as to why there are coaches on the ice or more structure. Because
right.
I think the players are like, I'm not dealing with this guy for 6 weeks before I even really have to deal with this guy for 3 weeks of training camp. Like, it's basically June is going to be like the August of a conventional hockey offseason. You know, if that makes sense.
I think this is unique in that, particularly at the start of this, I think it would be very important to have some structure to that. I really do. I know you don't want to, a coach running drills and climb the mountains and things like that. That's not what this is about. But I mean, just structure. You're coming back from 2 months off. Probably a lot of these young guys, it's the longest stretch they've ever gone in their lives without skating. And
right.
just coming back, I think to have an exact plan in place would make way more sense than just to turn six guys loose on the ice.
Yeah, and a lot of these guys have... It's not even coach. Like, everyone has their own individual skills coach
now.
Oh,
sure.
So that's where, you're seeing, Adam Oates' skill development and that Pavel Babar, or whatever his name is, Pavel Barber, I think, out of Arizona, the guy who does all the stick handling online stuff. But, there is a lot of guys that do skill development individually for players in the off season, and you mentioned it, Pooley, like, these guys work out, but they also are with their skills guys in July, in August. Like, a lot of them, I'm sure, in June are doing one or two ice sessions per week just to stay sharp. So this is going to be weird. This is foreign territory, not just a pandemic, but for them individually to not be doing some of the things that they're used to in the off season, and that's getting on the ice. So maybe no structure early on is them just, getting out there to get a feel. And who's to say, like, are they getting 90-minute increments on the ice, or are they getting 30 minutes? Like, we
don't
know what the
structure is
going to look like.
And you mentioned putting on a Tavares or Morgan Riley.
Right.
They're going to have to worry about themselves.
Well, yeah. you're right. You're right.
I don't even want them to have to worry about getting Mitch Marner in shape or telling Mitch Marner what to do. I just think at this point – with all the support people are going to have around there, and it's not a social distancing, guys. It's just
right.
not. A guy could be standing on the bench, right? It's
right.
not about, too crowded or anything like that. I think once they get back, they'll figure that out. I didn't like that it was written in the rules right away.
Yeah.
That's something they would be focused on.
Yeah. I mean, I would think that's more the PA that was saying we're
absolutely
not going to accept it clearly, but.
But even that question, Brian, at this stage for the PA to ask that question, well, we don't want the coaches to take over. I mean, I think that's a little, doesn't fit for me.
Well, and also, what are the coaches going to do to, like, star players? You know what I mean? Like,
they're not going to. They want what's best, and they should be there
right
at the start. They should be being, and they said, well, they could sit up and watch. Well, what good's that going to do?
Well, I'm a little bit curious as to where the timeline is going here, just based on what's happening around the world. Like, there's big news today that the premiership in Serie A, so the big soccer leagues in the UK and in Italy, are going to start on June 20th. Like, they're dropping the ball and they're playing, and they're going
right.
to resume their league. So if the NHL and the NBA, and I feel like the two of them are linked, like, they're likely going to resume around the same time. I wouldn't be surprised if it was almost on the nose. They'd be like 6 weeks behind, and
right.
I'm more curious as to how they're making this work over in Europe, where the Bundesliga has already started up. I believe La Liga in Spain is starting up relatively soon, and it's the same thing. These are monster teams, big leagues, empty stadiums. Like, how are they 6 weeks ahead of what we're doing over here?
Yeah.
And I don't have the answer. And it's not, I'm not taking a shot at the North American leagues. I'm just curious as to how they were like, okay, we're getting up and we're going, and why right. there's so many more logistics to it. Maybe because they're playing in their stadiums and they're traveling. This is hub cities, and they're trying to do it in more of a complicated
fashion. But,
Brian,
I think they are that far ahead of us, though. They very well could be in terms of this pandemic. You know, you guys know my daughter works in international education, and she was pulling kids home from Italy and from France in January.
Yeah.
I mean, they were that much further ahead.
So maybe that's the answer right there. They're 6 weeks ahead.
Well, you could probably, if you'd go back and look at the timeline, you're right, Pooley, like Italy was the worst hotspot outside of Wuhan. They were the number two, right? Like it seemed like weeks or months until the U.S. and other countries took over the numbers. But Italy was a massive hot spot, and then their numbers started to curb and head the other direction. So you're right. They, on a timeline, they could be, Brian, 6 weeks ahead just based on the pandemic and the flow on that. I haven't really been charting Italy as much as I used to. I was supposed to go there. I still technically have a plane ticket there July 12th, which I'm going to switch. But, you know, that's my go-to place in the summer. So Italy, yeah. I think they are about six weeks.
I guess
ahead.
So. I always thought it was 2 weeks. I always heard we're two weeks away from Italy, 2 weeks away from 2 weeks away.
You're right.
No, I think there's a bigger jump. I think there's a much
I guess
bigger
so.
Jump.
Yeah, I guess so. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. Back on FaceTime. I believe.
There
What's
he is.
Going on in
yeah,
the Ferraro yeah. household?
Yeah, I had enough people complaining at me to not hold the phone, so I've got it propped up on a box. This probably will fall over at some point. So,
between you and Pooley, it's shocking the show is on the air, quite frankly.
Yeah. Oh, Pooley and I could end this quick, I think.
Ray, I'll tell you what, though. The number of wires running across in front of me right now, you know, I have like five different computers right now and phones all in front of me and different. This one does this. This one does that. The DeGero is here. The Skype is here. The reported app is over here. You got it all going on. There's wires. There's lights. I mean, it's amazing that we're on air. It's unbelievable to leave that up to us.
What's amazing is that it actually happens. Like, we have our IT guys, I feel really bad for them. Almost every time I hook into something, I screw it up. And they're like, you know, basically turn it on, move over to there, click here. I'm so bad.
But I don't think like that. I just don't think like that. I can't visualize that. I need it. For someone to talk to me over the phone and tell me what to do, it's like, you say just do this. I don't even know what this is. I don't know what the word is.
Well, look at our techie right there. Brian Hayes, the techie, adjusting his camera on the fly while you two guys are like, yeah, what do we do here? What's going on?
You know what happened, Noodles, was I haven't had my phone plugged in. It just popped up. You have 20% battery left. So here I am being a hero.
Chargers alone. But you got to charge all this stuff because it's all drawn power.
I just put it in. I had to charge up the phone. I don't know why I forgot to do that before the show started.
Do you remember that happened to O about week one, where O just went dead and he was trying, like, he was texting on the internal text, like, what the hell's going on? And they were doing troubleshooting and all of that. And I think it was like Megan or Nick Caroli was like, is your phone charging every day? And like, oh, hadn't plugged his phone in.
Yeah,
in like
charged
three or four
once.
Days.
Yeah. It survived for 3 days and then died. And then it was everyone else's fault. And then it was like, why didn't you charge your phone? Like, what are you doing, man?
Then it took 3 weeks to get it plugged in again. Funny.
Yeah, exactly. After that, he was using a flip phone with like grainy video for about 3 weeks. But it wouldn't even surprise me if this has been like a big Truman Show, like troll job. We actually haven't been broadcasting for 2 months. They're just making us feel like we're doing it and we're important. Like, because I don't know. Maybe we are. Maybe we're not. I'm not watching or listening live. For all I know, it's just, you know, TSN are like, give them something to do. Let them pretend they're actually broadcasting.
These dummies will never figure it out anyway.
Yeah, they won't know. They're not going to. No one's going to stop them on the street and say, hey, why aren't you on the air anymore? It's actually this would be the perfect time for them to troll us. We haven't been on the air once for 2 months, and none of us would know any better.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Exactly. So in the last segment, Ray, we all went around the table listing, a three-pack of either people or teams or GMs, coaches, players, whatever, fan bases who have the right to be most disappointed with the 24-team playoff format. And we all listed different options, whether it's Boston because they were clearly going to win the President's Trophy, whether it's Edmonton because they actually have more points than Dallas, but Dallas gets past them and into the top four because of points percentage. I said Jack Eichel because he's 13th. 12 teams get in, they're 13th. He still hasn't tasted, you know, meaningful hockey into the postseason. Is there one for you, you know, maybe beyond the obvious that you think, yeah, that you can make a case that they should be pretty rattled with this format and with this final decision that was concluded?
Well, I would say, as you were talking up, Brian, I was thinking of Boston first. I mean, they should be the one seed. I mean, there's nobody within a stone's throw of them points-wise, right? Like, they should be the one seed. The other team I thought of is Pittsburgh because they are so far ahead of Montreal, yet they run into the one team that maybe could be a problem for them. If Carey Price plays two clunkers and three Carey Price games, they could be in trouble. Even though Pittsburgh's clearly a better team, I favor them by quite some margin. But I'd be a little disappointed with that as well.
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh should be included,
and you
make that case. I mean, they're another one. You give them another game or two, they could have caught Philly and been into the top four. It's not right. Like Pittsburgh's incapable of running off two or three straight wins. But they're also a team that they were so comfortably in. Forget Montreal. They were into the playoffs. Like them and Edmonton are very, very similar situations. I think, you know, because I don't know if we've heard enough from teams that are like, we're really happy about this. Like Chicago should be. Montreal should be. I think Arizona. I think there's a few teams that were on the outside looking in. But it feels to me like there's more people that are kind of – they're not saying it publicly because they don't want to complain considering the circumstances. But they're like, I don't know about this. Like, we felt pretty good about our situation. Do we have to do this?
Yeah, but it's easy to say they felt good about their situation. I had never – in my 13 years, I never, ever liked a first-round matchup that I had. Not one.
Right.
Every single one I thought was the worst matchup in the history of the NHL.
It's scary.
It was just a battle. You know, we were going to play the Hartford Whalers in the first round. We had 30 more points, and we were terrified. And it was like a terrible matchup. And, you know,
And you shouldn't have won that series.
No, we shouldn't have won that series without Ray Bourque playing. You're right about that, but we did.
Terrible – Pooley, it was a terrible time for our goalie to put a blindfold on. It was just like, just brutal.
Who was in net? Sidorkiewicz?
Yeah.
It was.
They're playing the series without Ray Bourque, and we're ahead. I want to say in game six, we're ahead 5-2 in the third.
Game four.
And you scored a cheesy, smelly, stinky goal. And we lost.
Most of mine were.
I hate it. That was the series. We had the series, and then we didn't have the series. And so
you would have been up three games to one.
Yes, and we get back into game seven, and there's some rumors that Bork's going to play, but maybe not. And he's the last guy that comes out of the locker room into warm up, and that old barn just exploded. We're like, we're dead.
Yeah, he was a good player.
Such a great move, though. That's like a wrestling move. Like, just hold him back and let him come out last. And
well, even better, though, Brian, you came out the end of the Boston Garden, so you had to skate through the other team's warm-up to get to your warm-up.
Oh.
So they had closed the doors, and then they opened them again, and then he came barreling out.
No way.
Right through their warm-up. Oh, it was great.
And, of course, we're pretending that we're not watching. You know, we're just skating around doing our warm-up, and we're like, the door closed. He's not here. Oh.
There he is. What a strut that would have been for 77, just cruising right through your warm-up.
And he played great.
That's that gift, that Ultimate Warrior running up the
Up the ramp. That's exactly right.
Just comes bombing out like I love
it. You know what else I remember about that game? And this maybe could tie into Nick Robertson a little bit. You guys signed John Bice out of the University of Wisconsin. He scored in game seven. That was his first game. What the hell was he doing playing anyway?
Because he was cheap. Harry wanted to sign a guy that was cheap on an entry-level contract.
Well, that's
no idea what he was doing playing. No idea. But he scored a big goal.
But he scored. He scored, I think, to make it 1-0. And so we talked yesterday about, you know, could you see a scenario where Robertson gets in the lineup? Like, yeah, sure. Like, that kid's good.
Yeah, and he could, but it'll have to be one of the top six guys that were to get dinged or something. It would have to be a role that fits him perfectly to go in. I mean, he's not going to go in on the fourth line, you know, and play any sort of role.
But Pooley, why couldn't that happen?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, it could. No, it could. It could.
The way Sheldon Keefe and Kyle Dubas operate, I don't know if they have a fourth line. Like, they finally established one with Clifford in terms of, like, a conventional fourth line kind of tougher guy. But I think if Sheldon Keefe feels like you can play and give you 10 minutes, I don't think you need to block shots for him to say, okay, you're in the lineup. I think he'll play. I think if he's one of the top 12 guys, they'll put him in.
Yeah, I could see it happening.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like that's kind of a part of the conversation today. Like, the league and the Players Association are still trying to figure out entry-level guys being able to play, right? And who's the kid out of Montreal that they love?
Romanov, right?
And everyone wants him playing. There's another thing in Pittsburgh. That's all you need. Some kid shows up that knows how to play. And
from,
you're like,
the KHL. This guy, it sounds like he's a stud, too,
yeah.
Right? Do you know anything about him or Pooley?
Yeah, I've seen him two World Junior tournaments, so I guess I've watched him 15 games. This kid's a player. He's not really big, but he's aggressive. He plays forward. He's a good skater. He can move the puck. He's competitive, like super emotional and competitive. I think he's a lock top four guy. Now, of course, he's 20 years old, but my God, he's better than what they have in their lineup. He would be an addition for him. I don't think these guys should be eligible to play, though. They wouldn't normally be. So why would they be now?
I'm with you. I don't get – if this is still the 2019-2020 season, which,
right.
Yeah, the regular season's over, but if we're talking about, you know, this is the Stanley Cup that is awarded based on what we've done since September, why would you make drastic changes to your rule book outside of what you have to do for the pandemic? Like, that's different. Mm-hmm. Expanding your roster or whatever is a different situation. But finding loopholes or adjusting loopholes doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
It doesn't. I was thinking crazy the other day. I don't know why. Just trying to, you know, think outside the box. And I went a little too far as I was like, you look at the teams that aren't playing anymore and there's pending unrestricted free agents on those teams. Could you imagine if there was some form of like, hey, you know, you could sign some of these guys who were available. It would just be, I'm of the belief, and Hayes, you put it in my head maybe a month and a half ago. This is such an outlier. There are so many things that are ass backwards, we'll call it, that potentially going to be with this tournament. Let's get crazy. Like, if you've got a guy, like, for the Leafs, if you sign that Lettinen kid, well, he's not a kid, he's 25, 26?
26, yeah.
Make him available. He's under contract. Make him. You've got 50 guys at the Leafs. Put your best 20 on the ice. Let's see what you got. Like, I know it's not going to happen. I know there are rules and CBA and all that. But I just, when you've got an opportunity to just be so unique with a tournament like this, I would just like to see a couple more layers of it, because we're never going to see it again. I hope,
no.
I guess.
Well, we're
Jamie, when I played junior, when I played tier two here, there was a rule in the playoffs that if your goalie got hurt, you could pick up a goalie from another team, right?
Mike Vernon did that, I believe, in the Western League years ago, Ray. I don't know if you remember.
He went
from like Calgary to Portland or something.
But it was crazy. So we knock out a team, and they've got a great goalie, and we knock them out. And we get to the second round, and they've paid their goalie to be hurt and go to Florida or something. And we play the same guy in the second round. And we beat him again. So we go into the third round, and we're like, no way. And sure enough, the same goalie shows up for the third round and finally beats us.
Just a
ringer. The other goalies are off in Florida or somewhere, got paid to go away. And so that was the rule. You could pick up a goalie if your goalie got hurt. We saw the same guy three series in a row.
Yeah.
Noodles, I was playing in Portland, and our goalie had a hamstring problem. And Mike Vernon became our goalie, and we won the Memorial Cup. It was really, really a good break for us.
Yeah, not a bad loophole, I would say, when you're on the right side of it, for sure. Hey, listen, I'm all for craziness. I guess the integrity of the league and them trying to keep everything somewhat. Like, you're already going in a bit of a wild direction because of what's happening. But, you know, I mentioned this before, and someone sent me a note today saying now's the perfect time to test out my idea of having the top seeds pick their opponent. And I know it's not going to happen because the teams wouldn't want it because they'd be like, they're not. Then you're picking on teams, or it's like
that
the players.
Has nightmare written all over it.
But how great would it be, though, for the viewer, though, Paulie? Do you know how amazing that would be if the Bruins are like, we'll take the Leafs. Like, we want them. We'll take them. And if the Leafs finally beat them in that scenario, forget just naturally coming across them, you know, via the path of the playoffs. They picked you. They think they own you. And you overcome that. How great that would be for theater and a TV event and just the content and
Talk. Brian, I'm going to disagree with you that, you know, like, you can't turn this into a carnival. I know it's different, and as Jamie said, hopefully we'll never see this again.
Right.
You can't turn it into a free for all.
Oh, I'd do it every year, though, right? I'd do it. Forget COVID. If I was a commissioner, every single year. The top seeds, you go down. Starting at the one seed, you get to pick your opponent. You get to pick who you're playing. Now, you have to qualify for the playoffs. But I think how would that not be anything but amazing theater and incredible? And it's off the ice. It's not. It doesn't change how the game is played.
So would you have
What would you have standings? Why would you have standings?
Well, I guess to determine who's going to get the pick. So, in other words, if you're talking, let's say the eight teams in the East, Boston's first, they get first pick. They have to take another team 2 through 8. So, but maybe they say, you know, we went 4-0 against Tampa. We'll take Tampa. We'll take them. You know, we'll take that on. And then the two seed is whoever it is. Maybe it is Tampa. They're
Washington,
like, all right, we'll take Philly.
Tampa, yeah.
We'll take this. Whatever. It just, I think it'd be incredible theater. And it's like you're so confident, you win the right to pick who you're going to play in the first round. And eventually you're going to get to a spot where there's two teams left. But
why would that team have to take on all the risk and all the heat? Like, why would they have to do it?
Well, maybe they take the 8th seed anyway.
That's not right.
Okay, so you prefer not to have the right to pick?
No, I think it's ridiculous.
Come on.
It's almost as ridiculous as your – the fans should be the general manager thing that you wanted.
Yeah, that's what I want at the draft. I think rounds 3 through 7 should be picked by the fans.
You got to go find Enes Kanter and be his manager.
I love him.
WWE.
That's my guy.
You got to go be his manager.
It's like a Royal Rumble. It's
windmill dunk.
Yeah, who's coming out next? Who do the Bruins pick? Wow, they select the Leafs. How great would that be? Incredible theater.
It would be great theater, almost like the, you know, like the draft lottery. You could build it up like that. But you know what? I was like I said, I prefaced my comments by saying I was just being crazy sitting on
the
couch.
I'm not prefacing anything. I truly believe this would be the greatest idea in sports history. And if there was a commissioner that had any creativity, he'd implement this. I think it'd be amazing. If you had a draft, you had a playoff bracket lottery. Essentially, or draft, it would be amazing to see who Boston would take. And I hear what you're saying, Ray. They'd have all the pressure, but they'd also get the pick of the litter. You know, if you don't want the pressure, take the 8th place team. There you go. But maybe you're like, you know what? Go ahead.
Yeah, as you say, but what if you're only just a few points ahead? It's not like you're so confident. You're like, I got to pick somebody.
Got it.
Pooley said at the start here, he hated every one of his 13-year first round series.
Right.
Like, you don't really want to. I'd like to pick Detroit.
Yeah, but they're exactly. They're not available.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Well, then you pick for me. You know, like, it would be. I don't know.
Not if you play for Montreal. Wasn't Detroit 0-4 against Montreal? Against Montreal?
I did three of the games. Yeah. I did three of those games. They were great.
Yeah. Like, so
it
is.
Montreal.
But it comes back to that Carolina going, we're going to vote no because we don't want to face the Rangers. Like, they were 0-4 against the Rangers. Is that correct in that matchup?
I think you're right.
They were 0-4. And the big thing about me with Carolina and the Rangers is they went ahead and said it. That's why they didn't like the format.
Yeah.
Right.
Now you've teed the Rangers up to go, oh, we know who doesn't want to play us. This is great.
No kidding.
Exactly.
Well, next time we have Bettman on, I'll make sure to bring this up. And
I think it'll fly.
Well,
Brian,
you know what,
him.
Brian?
Yeah.
I wish you would have told me this yesterday. We had the commissioner on the Ray and Drake's podcast this morning. I would have loved to have asked him that question so he could have just laughed at me right away.
Well, and then you would have said, actually, it was someone wrote it in. Some idiot from Toronto wrote that question in.
Yeah, some Brian from Toronto says.
Yeah.
Ryan Hayes.
Ryan. Exactly. What else did he have to say? Does he seem like is he kind of dodging stuff? Like, is he? How's he feeling about everything right now?
No, you know what, guys? Like, we always see Gary standing in front of a podium, and everybody's trying. You know, has to get the questions in. Everyone's looking for the hardest hitting question all the time because you only get so much access. He was calm and conversational. I thought he was outstanding, and he reiterated a couple of times that, look, these are just plans, right? Like, you can't just say camp starting. Like, we have to have all these plans in order to even get to the starting line, to paraphrase what he was talking about, that
right.
So many things still have to go right before we can get to the next phase. But I was really impressed with it. Like, it was a really informative interview with him. He was both 20 minutes, and I thought he was great.
Very cool. All right, you can find that at the Ray and Dregs podcast, wherever you download podcasts, tsn.ca. I'm sure there's video of it all over the website as well, and audio all over the website. All right, buddy. Well, we'll leave it there. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
And I'll try and have this thing figured out. Look, the camera didn't move once. I think I'm getting it.
You know what's funny, Ray, is you were starting to lose connection there, and I'm like, this will be the first time in history FaceTime goes down.
Gets flushed.
Gets flushed. You'll be able to see me waving you off. I'm like, that's enough. Get rid of them. Put them on hold or put them on pause.
That's so good.
Yeah. All right, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Have a good one, guys. Boy.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. And the showroom is open. They're taking the necessary steps to provide safe environments for every guest. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland or buy online, mapletoyota.com. That was getting a little bit dicey there at the end.
It was near the end.
So
it's
the
fine,
Ray and Dregs broadcast now, like, they get people calling them. The commissioner must have called them and said, I want to be a guest on the Ray and Dregs broadcast.
Absolutely.
Like, that's how.
Yeah.
You know,
they're,
it's not
they're
like
big
they don't
shooters.
Call you anymore. You call them and try and get on the Ray and Dregs broadcast.
Yep.
Yeah.
They
that's
don't
fair.
Mess around. But
awesome.
I'm telling you, man, I'm you guys may think I'm joking around. The picking your partner or picking your matchup,
opponent?
I think would be the coolest idea and the most creative idea, and it would change the whole landscape of the playoffs. And it would be amazing. Be amazing theater. Tell me you wouldn't love that. Like, okay, what's going to happen here? Who are they taking? Who are
right.
they taking here in the two spot? These two, this matchup is off the board. Boston took Columbus.
Okay.
Who's Tampa taking? Are they going to take Toronto? Will they go Carolina?
All right, let me turn it around on you. I know we have to go. When you come back, you tell me the answer who the Leafs would have chosen if they had a pick to go into the playoffs.
Ooh, I like it. Okay. Anyone in the top eight in the East?
Well, yeah, like if they're, you know,
Carolina.
Like, yeah, as it was a setting, like as a top eight, yes.
Carolina with David
right
Ayers
away.
In net. There's a caveat. David Ayers has to play the whole series.
Yeah.
They would have got one on him eventually. I know it.
Yeah. All right.
All right. We'll come back and we'll get into that a little bit more. We got CJ Nitkowski coming up on this war between the players and the MLB owners. Man, it's getting ugly in baseball. Really ugly. And Dregs, the other half of the Ray and Dregs podcast coming up in about an hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, CJ Nitkowski coming up, former MLBer, big MLB analyst. He'll join us into the 6 p.m. hour. Darren Dreger coming up as well in about an hour. Brian Hayes, Dave Poulin, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. We were throwing out the idea, or I was, and then I was being ridiculed, the idea of you know, top seeds picking their opponents in the first round, which I think would be the most incredible television event of the year. You think you love the draft lottery? Can you imagine seeing this? Teams pick who they're going to play in the first round. And then once you set that up, you set up the bracket, which I think the NHL is into now. So you don't continue to, you know, have picks or drafting your opponent. You know, that would truly be ridiculous.
Yeah. I love how you tweeted at John. You're like, no, that's ridiculous, John. Not my idea, just yours.
Yeah. Don't be ridiculous,
Excuse
John.
Me. I think it would be great. Like, if you're going to go all the way, go all the way. Like, you get through the next round, and then the top seed reseeds and goes, I want to pick that opponent. Like,
right.
If you're going to do it the whole way.
Okay, I guess so. Whatever. I'll do whatever. I'm looking for change here. But I do think that the NHL is committed to the bracket idea. Like, that is still a conversation that I guess they're trying to figure out after they do the play-in. Will they reseed? Will they have a bracket? And I've never thought about it in terms of the NHL. Like, I remember we had this conversation a year or two ago, and I was like, when did this bracket stuff factor into the NHL and their playoff format?
Right.
But I do understand why you would want to take a page out of the book of March Madness. Like, March Madness is the biggest, most celebrated tournament in American sport. It's incredible. And if you can fill out a bracket and you gets one more thing people are doing on the side to kind of get them engaged in your product, I can understand that. I think it's a benefit to the league.
Yep.
So, Brian, you know, you went through a sequence maybe a week or two ago where it seemed like callers that had been former NHL players, be it Milan Lucic or Eddie Olczyk, were sort of taking shots a little bit at you and saying they were addressing Jamie and O as the players, you know, from a playing standpoint.
Yes, yes. I'm familiar.
This might be the time for someone to call in and say, you know, Pooley Noodles, from a playing standpoint, that is about as ridiculous as anything I've ever heard.
Listen, if it's going to make the players uncomfortable, I want it even more. It's better that way. I mean, you guys know how it is with players. Like, you may hate on things, but you got to do what you're told. Or you got to do what the league
decides
to come
up with. The things you're saying, you know, let me throw 23 things against it right now. Building availability, travel, logistics, all these different things that go into play.
I don't know.
So, right. For instance, a travel manager of a team at the start of the playoffs, he would set up hotels in, you know, if you're in the East, he would set up hotels in Boston, hypothetically. Then he'd go to the next two cities that it could potentially be in. He'd have hotels waiting there. You know, all these logistics are done so far ahead of time. Can you imagine? Yeah, you don't know who you're going to play till Thursday.
Well, that happens a lot, though, anyway, Pooley. That happens where, like, if this team wins, we're playing them. If that team wins, we're playing them.
But it's a limited number.
Yeah,
it's a limited number. It's not wide open.
Here's how you get around that problem.
Or...
I'll tell you how you get around that problem. The NHL takes care of the logistics. The NHL books rooms for every prospective spot in the NHL.
There you go.
And there you go. And then it's like, okay, now that we know who it is, all right, it's Pittsburgh that's going in there. It's Toronto that's going in here. It's Carolina that's going in there. This is an easy way to dance around that.
Yeah, I could see it. I mean, I could see what you're saying. Like, you know, there is a, you know, booking charters, all of that. Like, it's a money thing. And you throw enough money at it, you can make it work out. I mean, how many times – I know the team services guys, Pooley, you've probably dealt with them a million times. Like,
a lot.
Yeah, and they've, you know, okay, we're up in a series and it's game six. We're not going to have a game seven. They haven't booked, you know, they've gone ahead, but they, you know, softly have booked plans for the next city potentially. And then all of a sudden it gets pushed to a game seven and they've got to change things around. Like, you know, to Brian's point, I think you could block off as a league and go, there is going to be a team in there, but we don't know who yet. We don't know what's going on. And then you know,
They'll figure that stuff out.
But
don't worry about it. These are all
To figure it out. It's not happening.
Of course, it's not going to happen because what we're always worried about history and the conventional thinking and anyone. If you want to be a groundbreaking, you know, trailblazing type of commissioner, look what's happening with Adam Silver. He's talking about midseason tournaments. They're talking about reseeding 1 through 16. They're throwing a lot at the wall. Now, they haven't done any of it, so he doesn't get credit for being progressive just because he's mentioning it in some Board of Governors meetings that leak through Adrian Wojnarowski. Until right. you do something, I'm not going to give you credit for being progressive, but it sounds like he's inching closer towards it. Just because this is the way it's always been doesn't mean that that's the way it's always got to be in the future. And if, right. if you're going to build your product, which is the entertainment business, this is not, you know, let's not ever forget that. I don't care if the players don't like it. Like, sorry. This is right. best for business. What is going to conjure up the most attention, the most eyeballs, the most clicks? What is going to lead to the most anticipation for my product? And if you tell me, you tell sports fans around the world, dude, you got to see this. This right. team took this team to play. Like, that to me is a built-in yeah. marketing plan that is foolproof.
You are talking much more XFL than you are NFL or NCAA.
Doesn't change the game, though, Pooley. Yeah. Once you're on the ice, you're still playing a game.
Listen,
it's not a rule change.
You have to collective bargain things like this. You know, they can't get a coach on to help six guys skate. You think they're going to well, let this go through? They're not a chance.
That's true.
You say,
that's true.
Who cares what the players think? The players care what the players think.
Think outside the box. Why would the players care that much, though? Ultimately, it's
outside
not the players.
The box. That's not even in the same universe.
But Pooley, what?
The box.
Pooley, why would you care that much? What does it matter who you're playing? Like, if you
well,
know,
like I told you at the start of this, I hated every matchup I ever had in the playoffs.
Okay, I hear you.
But I certainly didn't want to go as far away as I could. I mean, if I had easy travel and I could go, you know, by train in New York, that's much better than, you know,
maybe that's
the
move
somewhere else.
Maybe that's a move. But you're thinking about it as a team at the top, which is what you were used to throughout your career. How motivating would it be if you were a team at the bottom? Okay, this team picked me. Okay, let's go. Like, you talk about bulletin board material. You want us in the first round? We'll take you. Like, tell us where to be. We'll play you. Like, I think it'd be amazing. Amazing theater.
It would be good. It would be good theater. I just, you know, I think it, I mean, obviously.
It's never going to happen.
It's never
going to
happen, but it's kind of neat. It's kind of neat to just think, and I go back to what you said 6 weeks ago, Brian, like the league, and it's not just the National Hockey League. It's the NBA. It's every other sport that has had to, you know, adapt to this pandemic. They have an opportunity to be creative here. And how creative? Well, I mean, you see, overall, do you think the NHL has faced a lot of blowback or just the,
no, I
you
don't
know,
think
maybe
so.
20%? Like, you're never going to be, everyone's never going to be happy. But to me, I think 24 teams was the least amount of evil that they were going to put out there, if that makes sense.
Yeah. What I've noticed, the majority of the blowback is people saying, like, oh, forget it, just cancel it and restart next year.
Yeah.
Which there seems to be a number of people that are suggesting that they should do that. And that's fine if that's your opinion. I don't share it. I don't agree with it at all. And I think you got to keep in mind one of the primary reasons, if not the primary reason, for taking your time here and extending this so that you can push next season forward is maybe you're going to get people in the stands by the beginning of 2021, because there is some news out there today. The governor of Texas is saying that not only will we be playing sports in June, you'll be allowed to do that, but if it's an outdoor stadium, in other words, the Texas Rangers, the Houston Astros, 25% of the stadium can be filled to capacity, you know, or 25% of capacity can be filled with fans. So all of a sudden those two teams are like, wait a minute, we could play home games and have, like, you know, 15,000 people in the building and make some money that we didn't think we were going to make? Okay. And the governor of Louisiana said the same thing. When the Saints are playing in the fall, you can get about 13, 15,000 people in there. Like, so if it's slowly starting to build that way, now it might halt with a second wave of COVID-19, clearly, which I think we're all kind of expecting could happen. And that's another reason why you push it down. The second wave would likely happen in the fall. But what if we get to the NHL season, the NBA season come next January, and every team in the league is allowed to have, you know, 10,000 people in the building? It's better than nothing.
Right.
So what are you going to do, just not play hockey until January? Why would you do that if you can play at some point?
No, that makes no sense at all. They've got to prepare that at some point, and I still think it's going to be on the medical front, that we make advances against this disease on the medical front, against this sickness on the medical front, whether it be some sort of, you know, cocktail of existing drugs that we already know are approved and can be put together and help as a deterrent, or, you know, even to the point of a vaccine when that does happen. I still think it will be on the medical front that, you know, in the near future, we will take steps forward.
Yeah, I agree.
I hope you're right. Yeah.
But I think it's, you know, I think it's ridiculous to be like, oh, just shut it down until you can have fans. Like, the league is, it's going. They've been creative. I like this format. Not everyone's going to love it, but it's going to be competitive. Somebody's going to be raising the Stanley Cup. I don't believe there will be, like, 10 years from now, there's not an asterisk beside it. There's not an asterisk beside 2013.
Not a chance.
Yeah, to me, it's a Stanley Cup winner. It's going to be really exciting, and I'm fired up for it.
Especially if you win 19 games, Noodles. There might be an asterisk, and it's a positive one. We always think of asterisk as a negative. But what if it's, hey, we should read the fine print on that asterisk. That team had to do something no one's done. They had to win 19 games in do-or-die fashion to get the cup. If one of the 16 play-in teams ends up actually going on and doing it, and the odds would suggest that that might happen. It's a pretty good chance it'll happen. CJ Nitkowski will join us in about 20 minutes on where we go next with baseball and the very public battle between the Players Association and the owners. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, a lot of people are saying they love the idea. Lots of people are saying they like the idea.
Oh, yeah?
Of, lies. Oh, he lies.
Yeah, you're lying.
Define lots. Yeah. Define lots of people.
Well, there's a couple anyway about my idea of, you know, the top seeds get to pick their opponent in the playoffs. And Andrew tweeting in saying, as Coach Casey would say, Brian, I think you're making some good points.
That's a good point, Brian.
That is a good point. And actually, that reminds me. I meant to bring this up because I've been known as Hazy B now for the past few years because of Dwayne Casey and him calling me Hazy and B, and then it just became Hazy B. And now I'm into the gardening game. I don't know if you're aware of that, Pooley, but I'm a big garden fanatic.
I'm not aware of that. I've caught little snippets of it, but I didn't know it was going full force.
Oh yeah, green thumb, full blown green thumb. I'm
what are you growing? What do you got going?
Well, I'm actually not growing anything, but I'm taking care of my lawn for the first time in 5 years.
Oh, you're cutting your lawn, and that makes you a green thumb.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I had the weed whacker out and everything. I'm committed to the game. Mulching.
Anything else?
No, I mulch and I soil and I cut. That's about it. But
hard working guy.
I'm working hard. Exactly. I'm a man of the earth, right? Yeah. Is that what they say? I'm a man of the soil.
Yeah.
Daisy B is going to be my new nickname. Daisy B, as opposed to Hazy B, or Hazy G, as Andy Petrillo coined earlier today, because G standing for garden, which I kind of like as well. So I don't want to be Hazy B anymore. I'm Hazy G or Daisy B. So I'm committed.
Have you got
to the
big sit down mower going, or the push mower, or what do you got going?
Nah, I don't have a big enough yard for that. That's the vet move, man. You get a big John Deere and just go for a cruise, like a 2 hour cut.
I gotta tell you what, when I retired and moved to coach at Notre Dame, the first thing I did was go out and get a great big John Deere. I love this thing. It was like therapy. Oh, it was great.
Well, it's just a way to escape the craziness of your house. That's all it is. Like, how have wives not figured that out? You know, like the guy, I got to go cut the lawn again for 2 hours with a beer.
Oh, I had a little cup holder on it. But I'll tell you what, I did it for I'm going to say.
Cup holder and a dart.
I had a cup holder. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. I cut that lawn for probably, it was a little over an acre, and I cut that lawn for about 4 years. And I thought, you know, it takes me a couple of hours, 3 hours, I'm doing it once a week. Probably rather play one more round of golf a week. And my neighbor was moving, and I had this great neighbor across the road, just a terrific guy. And he had this little, he had a lawn service, but he liked to cut his own front. So he had this little sit-down lawnmower, tiny little ramshackle, scotch tape on it, duct tape, you know, just a mess. It was just 100 years old. So I knew he was one of my favorite guys and just a great neighbor, but he was moving to Carolina to a big property. So one day I just drove my mower over to his place and parked in the garage and put a big bow on it.
No way.
left it for him. He said, what's this? I said, take that to Carolina. I'm done cutting my grass.
Good man.
That's awesome. That's so nice.
To this day, that mower is still cutting grass down in Carolina.
Well, you are committed to the game, too. You got that green bike that's been rolling for 35 years that you're still committed
green,
to.
Yeah, big green. She's got a good run in her.
Yeah. How many miles would be on that, you think?
Oh, that's a lot. I drove that a lot. Like when, so I bought that in 86. and I'd flip it on the back of the truck every summer. So no matter where I went, I had it with me. So I had a built-in workout, you know, no matter where we traveled or whatever, the last, you know, 8 or 9 years that I played. And then I rode it a ton when I was at Notre Dame.
I gotta get a bike.
A lot of clicks on that guy.
Yeah, I much prefer biking than walking. But
I don't know. I have a tough enough time on four wheels, so
yeah, I don't
down
picture
to
you
two.
Biking.
No, I think I could bike. It's just a motorcycle
well, you're up
would
in the
scare
country.
The hell
you'd
out
be,
of me.
You'd be totally fine up there. You're up in the country. You'd be great up there biking.
Yeah, you're good.
Potentially, I don't know. I don't want to listen. I can't be a hypocrite when it comes to it because I get frustrated with people on bikes when I'm driving and they're, you know, they're in my space
taking
and I'm
your
in
road,
their
yeah.
space. And it scares me. That's why I'm fearful for them. I'm fearful for me. Like, you know, that's why I can't be hypocritical when it comes to, especially motorcyclists like those guys. There's those guys on the 401.
Like, oh, they're moving,
flying,
man.
I know.
Yeah, it's like sport almost. Not like a Harley.
Scary.
Like they're just laid back. They're motoring in and out of traffic and everything.
Exactly.
Those guys are the worst. Oh, all right, final hour coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.